You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey guys, this is Aaron, and with me, as always for these last few episodes, is Dave, my co-host here on Reading Writers.
I am present.
Fantastic. You doing all right, Dave?
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, you're feeling it? Right now. It's been a long day, hasn't it?
Well, you know, it's a day.
Yeah,
it's
you've used some words.
It's a Monday as we're doing this.
That's true.
I'm all right. I'm at that point. It's afternoon here as we're recording this, and I drink a lot of coffee in the morning, very early. But come this time in the afternoon, I start slowing down a little bit. But we're jazzed up right now about
this talk. So. That's right, because we are going to talk about a very important question. The question is, are audiobooks books?
Wow. That's a deep one for today's
topic.
It's
profound. Especially for three in the afternoon on a Monday.
I know. My answer is, drum roll, it depends.
I
believe they are. I absolutely believe they are. And here's why. I love audiobooks. I love since we read a lot of books, Aaron, I think in order to read the amount we do, they're simply to be a good father, to be a good employee. in needing sleep and things like that. I think you got to maximize your commute time, traveling that we do.
Absolutely.
I love audiobooks. So I will say this. I'm reading usually about four books at a time.
Yep.
I always have an audiobook queued up. Or two sometimes, depending what it is. If I know I've got some weeks where it's really busy and it's almost like listening to podcasts, I know I can listen like 30 minutes here, 20 minutes there, and I feel like I'm not missing anything. And typically that has to do with nonfiction. So there's kind of a bit of my answer, all right? Fiction is incredibly difficult to stop and start again. So, because I mean, think about it, like you're listening to a story, and suddenly, like just putting it down, it's a little bit different than a book. I don't know what it is, if just my mind just works differently with it, but it's incredibly difficult to like keep on track with a fiction audiobook.
Well, I can understand that. I can understand that because
maybe
I mean, part of it is
probably
that's not it. You're plenty smart, Dave. Yeah. You're good enough.
Geez,
you're smart enough.
Hey.
And
I appreciate
people like you.
Oh no, wait, no, didn't he step down from the Senate? So he's going back Al Franken on us. Oh no.
Oh no, 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 no. We're not going Al Franken on anybody.
Nope. The edit
Nope.
Keep going.
Nope. No, I understand that. I can understand why it is challenging to do a fiction book on an audiobook, largely because you have to invest yourself in the story, right? Yes. So, and I mean that just happens naturally as you read or listen to a story. You are going to get sucked in if it's a good story, no matter what.
Yes.
The hard part is being able to turn that off.
Yeah.
So where a physical book, when you know where there's a stopping point, like so whether it's the end of a chapter or the end of a section, paragraph, anything, you at least have the ability to kind of like bring yourself down a little bit, and so prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, all of your being. To go and do something else.
I completely agree.
You know
that feeling. I mean, it's classic feeling. It's like a runner's euphoria, right?
Yeah.
You've got a great fiction book and you cannot put it down. And that's cliche, but it is absolutely true what happens when you're immersed in a story. I don't care what else is going on. I got a kid taking to practice. Like the book's with me, and like as soon as I drop them off, like I will pull to the side of the road. I have done that before because I'm like, I got to finish this chapter right now so I can have some semblance of like closure for this period before we go to the next part of the story.
Totally. I have a hard time with that. I have that problem with fiction books or nonfiction books sometimes as well. Like if they're just really compelling and interesting, I mean, it's hard to pull away. I mean, then there's books like that I'm still questioning why they weren't a pamphlet.
You know, that's a whole nother episode. Should
books
actually just be an article?
I mean, I would. So I'm just gonna do a quick giveaway there.
Oh no!
Real quick.
Oh, no.
I would say probably at least 50% of the time.
Ooh.
No less than.
Nonfiction for the most part. Nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Yeah. Yeah. Fiction's a whole nother.
I mean, short fiction's great. Love it too. Yeah.
Oh, I love short fiction. Yeah. It's so good. Steve Martin's fantastic for that.
Yes.
Yeah. But,
and Stephen King. Yeah. Think of the Steves. Apparently, Steve.
There you go. We need to rename. If you are a Steve, you are going to be good at it. Maybe. Maybe. But I mean, there's some books that it's just like this. I got the idea. So Start With Why by Simon Sinek is a great one. I love the concept. It's a TED Talk.
Yes.
And it is a TED Talk.
It is a TED Talk.
It actually is a TED Talk.
Yeah.
It's not, but it doesn't need to be a whole book.
Yeah.
And
what kept me going on this, I love the idea so much. I'm like, I love that book, and it's challenging to me. It's a professional, no doubt. Yeah. But I did feel that same way. And the only thing that kept me going was he had some stories sprinkled in between.
Yeah.
And that's what made it bearable.
Sure. I mean, then there's Checklist Manifesto, which is.
Checklists are good.
Checklists are good.
Really good.
Love
checklists.
Really. Checklists are fantastic. Yes. Did it need to be? But it was.
Yeah. It would be a great Harvard article.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So I know people who love that
book.
Did
they get our money? or our company's money? Yes. Yes, they did. So
yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Hence the mystery of publishing.
There we go.
Being solved right here.
There we go. So
keep going.
But audiobooks. We are talking about audiobooks.
We talked about before about our love of comedians and entertainment hearing audiobooks from them.
Yes.
Because you get that you get their perspective so much, and hearing their tone, the way they would tell stories, especially comedians or storytellers anyway.
Yeah.
So you love that Carrie Fisher book we talked about, right?
Yep. And we talked about Martin Short's.
Yes.
Martin Short's.
Great.
And it was brilliant. Tina Fey's Bossy Pants is phenomenal.
Yes.
For all those same reasons. Steve Martin, he did his on stand-up. And why you shouldn't be a stand-up comedian. although, interestingly, here was the weird bit of crossover that I didn't know was coming when I read that book or listened to that book, was I did not know that his first serious romantic relationship was with Stormy O'Martian.
O'Martian?
O'Martian.
O'Martian. All right. I said that to somebody earlier today. I'm like, it's O'Martian, but I'm just going to say O'Martian because it's more fun to say
right.
O'Martian.
Right.
Why not?
That's right. So Stormy O'Martian, who this is public knowledge, and this was fascinating to me that they had a relationship.
It's just so fun. Those are things you're like,
I don't know.
That connection happened.
Maybe. Power of the Praying Wife.
I guess just
came after that. So so different. What in your opinion are the best books use with audiobooks?
Yeah. So I was kind of looking over a list of ones I've read before. I'll start with my favorite. All right. So here you go. Think about this one. Your favorite audiobook of all time.
Ooh.
And. I'll start with mine, and it's funny because we just talked about this. It's a fiction book, The Martian.
Interesting.
I'll tell you why. First of all, the movie I thought was great.
Okay, I haven't seen the movie, but I've read the book.
It's fun. Yeah. It is. I thought, I mean, it's Ridley Scott. It's Matt Damon.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong.
It's Murph. Jessica Chastain. Basically, in another space movie. But it was great. It did win the Audi that year, which is their awards system for audiobooks.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was produced well, meaning you felt the start and stops happening well. The narrator, the voiceover, I can't remember his name, but the guy, the voice was fantastic. This guy was just entertaining. He was so, I listened to the audiobook before I saw the movie too.
Mm-hmm.
And, all I can say is just go listen to it. It's great on a long drive. And again, I've got another fiction book queued up here pretty soon. Same thing. But just it was so entertaining, so fun, so informative.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was learning a lot that the movie doesn't cover in terms of what it takes to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
to get
totally.
To Mars and back. But it was just done well. I can tell something gets done well. So there you go. The Martian.
Nice.
I think that's the best one. I know there's a handful of plenty. I mean, I've...
Yeah.
a lot of John Krakauer books and Malcolm Gladwell books I'll listen to because I love that voice. Yes. I love Malcolm Gladwell's voice and him telling stories. It's so curious. It's inquisitive.
Yeah.
It's what Barnabas digs in this book, Curious Christian. And see how I just threw that one in there. There Barnabas, that's free. And then Barnabas is going to remind me that I worked on this book. So
yeah.
Yeah, but that's what Barnabas would do. So,
it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, hey, I'm not judging. I'm not judging. So,
all right, what do you got?
Okay, well, one of my favorite audiobooks, one of, was actually Ready Player One.
Really?
Ernest Cline's book.
Yeah, okay.
And it was because it was read by Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton, yeah.
Yes.
From Next Generation.
That's okay. Right, that's right. So,
and Stand By Me. There you go.
Right.
See? Come on.
That's right.
Gotta bring it all back.
Absolutely. That one was fantastic. I just really enjoyed that one a lot. There are some books that I read that are like, okay, this was, or and listened to, that were just like, okay, this was interesting for the content, and for a nonfiction book, actually in the Christian space, one that I loved as an audiobook was Gospel Fluency by Jeff Vanderstelt.
Oh, really?
Because Jeff actually wrote it.
He read it. Yeah.
And he wrote it too.
Yeah.
Surprise everybody, yes. He wrote his own book.
There you go.
But yeah, he read it, and what was great is it just had a very genuine kind of feel, with it. Like there were places where he just inserted a chuckle and things like this. His tone was very warm and inviting with the content, and it just fit.
Yeah,
it was so good. Ego Is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday is another one, and this one actually made my favorite books to read in 2017 list.
Ego Is the Enemy.
That's right. And so Ryan Holiday, he is the former king of dark arts marketing, and so he knows how to manipulate people to produce dollars. But he's also the type of guy who will say, hey, you know, you can come up with, you know, the greatest campaign in the world, but to try and go viral. But, you know, if your product sucks, you may as well just take $10,000, put it on a table and set it on fire and put that on YouTube, because that'll get you about as much brand recognition.
Yeah.
No, makes sense. And it's the equivalent of doing that.
Yeah.
But this book was actually the result of his burnout.
Yeah.
So he was working hard as, you know, as one of the youngest marketing execs in the, like, in history, in America.
Yeah.
And it was killing him.
Yeah.
So it torpedoed his relationship with his fiance. It was killing him physically.
Yeah.
And then he got fired.
Mm.
And he had defined his whole life as being the marketing guy at, was it Abercrombie?
I think so. I don't know.
I think it was that one. Whichever one has the shadiest commercials in the world. but this was his journey out of that, and so he subscribes to the philosophy of Stoicism.
Hmm.
So so it was interesting to read and listen to this book through his lens as a Stoic and advocating Stoicism and actually seeing the, and for me, from a theological perspective, to be able to put that up next to, like, from a virtues based like personal discipline kind of approach, that it's like from a man-made religion perspective, this is about the closest you get to right, and it's still so far off.
Interesting.
That it's still ultimately hopeless, and that is so. That for me was just a fascinating kind of side point to it. Even as I'm listening to him, realizing, no, humility matters.
Yeah.
And coming to terms with that it's like you're not going to survive in any industry unless you are someone who has character, someone who's humble. And is not seeking to make too much of themselves.
Yeah.
And
our world doesn't say do that, does it?
No, it is the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
And And so that was a fascinating thing for me.
I listened to audiobook called Resilience by Eric Greitens. He's governor of Missouri, but he wrote it when he was not governor, you know, yet. But it's written and in a way of him writing all these letters to his friend, encouraging him. And I love an audiobook where you can hear the person and as if they're talking to you. I mean, I felt like, okay, I'm being encouraged by this guy. I'm being encouraged in what it means to be resilient in life. And again, I think I could have read it. And I went back and actually, I bought the book. I'm giving it to a handful of people. I felt like we're going through a tough time or needed to hear that from me too. Just saying, listen, I believe in you. I believe in how God has made you to be and how he's helped you to push through things. Well, that's resilience. It's not bouncing back. It's about how he helps you to get through things.
Yeah.
And any friend needs to hear that. Any person who has any sort of tough times.
Totally.
Be a listening ear, be whatever. But
absolutely.
Audiobooks can accomplish that well if done right. Again, I think it was a good author reading, and that's how it should be. And I felt like, okay, he's talking to his friend.
Yeah,
and absolutely. That could have failed if it was done properly.
Oh, totally. Well, I mean, that's the secret with a good audiobook. What makes it good is it's not just the content. It's all about who's delivering. And
absolutely.
And for some people, a book that wouldn't connect in print connects with an audiobook.
I agree. Yeah, I completely
agree, and that's a really good thing.
Yeah. The last very important question I think we've kind of answered is, on Goodreads, do you click read?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. So do I. All right.
Yep, of course.
So we endorse that in your Goodreads activity or whatever other reading platform you so choose.
That's correct. You may choose not to brag about how many books you read every year in reading challenges.
Yes, exactly. It's all about telling people.
We, however, choose to, or at least I choose to, because Dave does not participate in the reading challenge that I'm aware of.
I do.
Do you?
I just haven't publicized it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, there you go.
And also, again, I'm telling you guys, you have no idea how many books Aaron reads a year, so that should be like a write-in question. It's up to you if you want to answer that, but it's pretty significant.
I'll answer it.
Go for it.
I'll answer it. So right now I'm on track to, and this is provided I haven't forgotten to put any books in, which means I probably have. I'm on track to surpass 130 this year.
He's an animal, folks. Let's just say he's roughly 100 ahead of me this year. Everybody thinks, you read so many books. I'm like, not really. I just am really selective and really vocal about the ones I read because, and this is a whole other thing too about stopping and starting books. I've stopped books. I'm like, this is not worth my time.
Oh, yeah. I had one that it was like, yeah, I got it. I quit. And those are often ones that I don't count. I never mark those as read.
Oh, yeah. It has to be read. Yeah, like, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's like,
absolutely agree with you.
Or at least the majority of it. Yeah. Like, so if you cross the halfway point, I might give it to you, but I mean, but there are
like
some
a mulligan and a playing golf or something. It's like it's not quite it, but you know you can have it.
Dave, that's a sports reference. I don't understand those.
We're not making any money doing this, folks. Okay, so we got to do what we can do, and we expect your full support.
That's right.
Here comes the hate mail.
That's right. No. It'll just be Eric Geiger making fun of me later.
Probably. Gosh. 130 books, folks.
That's
by the way, my mom does something like that as well, like Aaron, and like there is something about the way someone can really dig in, but that is a love of books. So
yeah,
I hope you feel, you know, we read significantly a different amount of books a year, but our love for reading is similar. I also want you to know you don't have to read 130 books a year.
No.
You can be as awesome as Aaron, you can be as mild as Dave, because my thought is I was busy. I'm pretty picky and choosy. If I can get one every week, every couple weeks, like that's really it.
Oh man, that's a sweet spot right there. Like if you are reading, honestly, if you're reading one book a month, you're above, you're reading more than the average American.
That's still pretty strong. Yeah. Which is sad.
Yeah.
Well,
so
unfortunately, the average American may not be reading any books right now, period. Deep. So think about that.
It's like two or three a year.
We recommend reading.
Reading is good for you.
Yes.
And we recommend it not just because we work in a publishing company. So.
Well, that's part of it.
Here's the thing. We haven't actually recommended any book from our company yet, except for You made a reference
to one that shall be not be named, because we'll save that for later. Shameless plugs will happen, and you will know them right when we say
that. That's right.
But genuinely, but we're going to say it if we actually do believe in it. I'll say that too. So if you ever hear us recommend a book, it's going to be as genuine as can be. And I say that because we're human beings.
Yep.
And we may, I don't know, we'll have some other guests, and they may or may not have a book being published.
Yes, absolutely.
Or something like that.
So. Absolutely.
So, but audiobooks.
Audiobooks.
We like audiobooks.
They are good. They make my commute so much better.
Yes, Aaron does have a commute.
It is an hour. Serious commute. If traffic is bad, so if traffic is good, it's half an hour.
Yes.
If traffic is bad,
I
may as well just stay at the office. Yeah.
And you know you love audiobooks when you semi-enjoy a commute to work. You can never fully enjoy a long commute to work. No. But and also long, like, vacation. Holiday drives.
Holiday there, drives. Yeah. There
Would
you
go. Have one of those tomorrow?
So. I do not, because I'm staying in America.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
There we go. All right. Guys, thanks for tuning in this episode. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating and review on iTunes. Your feedback helps more people find the show. You can find me on Twitter at Aaron Strongarm. And for more content, including reading recommendations, please visit bloggingtheologically.com.